rugged pioneers. In fact, they were so pleased with James's improvement that by the end of October 1867 they jubilantly set off for a three-month tour of the eastern states, visiting the members in New England. Wednesday, October 23, James and Ellen White, accompanied by D.T. Bordeaux, left for appointments with the churches in the east. Sabbath and Sunday they were at Roosevelt, New York, where J.N. Andrews joined them. It was soon seen at Roosevelt that much would be called for to get the work in full order. Their next appointments were in Maine. The first was for Norridgewock, some 75 miles, 120 kilometers, north of Portland. Their delegates were being called together to organize the Maine Conference. J.N. Andrews, president of the General Conference, was with them. D.M. Canwright had been doing good work there and at the time seemed to be the most prominent minister in that area. He reported the accomplishments of the meeting held from Friday through Sunday and emphasized the special value of the help given by both James and Ellen White. "Never before did I so fully realize the great importance of the gifts in the church, and never did I have so strong faith in them as now. Many, nay, nearly all, felt the same. Thank God for the testimonies," the Review and Herald, November 12, 1867. On Friday, November 1, the delegates set about to organize the Maine Conference. Through November until mid-December, James and Ellen White were in Maine, visiting the churches and, when possible, relatives and friends of former days. J.N. Andrews, who had done considerable work in Maine, described the experience of those who had not been acquainted with Ellen White and her special gift. He stated that even those who have felt the greatest opposition to the reproofs they received have, with scarcely an exception, on calm and serious reflection, acknowledged that they were justly reproved, and accepted her messages to them. Andrews observed thoughtfully, "I have had great opportunity to judge of the truthfulness of these testimonies by witnessing their faithful and exact delineations of character in a very large number of cases, presenting very widely dissimilar features. I have every reason to know that these things were almost entirely unknown to Sister White, and in some cases absolutely unknown, only as given her by the Spirit of God. Yet a most perfect and exact representation of the faults, as well as the virtues, of many persons has thus been given, so that even those who know them best have said they could not so well have described them." Ibid, December 24, 1867. It was this type of evidence that convinced many of the integrity of the visions given to Ellen White. The Whites and Andrews filled appointments in Topsom, Maine, in Washington, New Hampshire, and in Vermont. Many places could be reached only by sleigh or carriage. Monday, December 23, the meeting was held during the daylight hours in the William Farnsworth home. Farnsworth was the man who in 1844 had risen to his feet in the Washington, New Hampshire, church and declared that he was going to keep God's Sabbath. Others followed him in his decision. Sitting in the group was 19-year-old Eugene Farnsworth, one of William's 22 children. As he heard Ellen White addressing one and then another with messages indicating that she had insights others did not have, an idea came to him. He said in his heart, "I wish she would tackle my dad." He knew what most others did not know, that his father had slipped back to the use of tobacco. Their farm was quite isolated, and William did his chewing of tobacco on the sly, but Eugene had seen him spit tobacco juice into the snow and quickly scuff it out of sight with his boot. As these thoughts were forming in Eugene's head, Ellen White turned and addressed William. "I saw that this brother is a slave to tobacco. But the worst of the matter is that he is acting the part of a hypocrite, trying to deceive his brethren into thinking that he has discarded it, as he promised to do when he united with the church, WCW, in Ibid, February 11, 1937. As Eugene saw these covered sins dealt with faithfully by Ellen White, he knew he was witnessing a manifestation of the prophetic gift. When she had finished with her messages to different ones in the room and there was an opportunity for a response, one after another stood and acknowledged the truthfulness of her message, and with repentance and confession yielded themselves anew to God. Then the parents made confession to their children. This touched the hearts of the young people who had been watching and listening, and whose hearts were being moved by the messages and invitations not only of Ellen but of James White and Andrews. On Wednesday morning, Christmas Day, a meeting was held and 13 children and young people expressed their determination to be Christians. 5 young people were not present Christmas morning, but in response to the appeals of their young friends they too gave their hearts to the Lord, making 18 whose lives were changed during the 5 eventful days at Washington. Some of them wanted to be baptized without delay, so a hole was sawed in the ice on nearby Milan Pond, and with joy they went forward with this rite. Others waited till spring and warmer weather. 9 of the 18 became church workers in the cause of God, some filling prominent positions. Among them were Eugene, Elmer, and Orville Farnsworth, and their sister Loretta. The latter married A.T. Robinson and led out in developing the Bible instructor ministry. The 2 Mead children made their contributions, Rose in city mission work and Fred as a literature evangelist leader, and missionary to Africa. Thursday morning, December 26, James and Ellen White and John Andrews hastened on to northern Vermont, where a conference was to begin in West Enosburg Friday evening in the church close to the A. C. and D.T. Bordeaux homes. A. C. Bordeaux reported in the review that in the evening, after the Sabbath, 150 participated in the ordinances of the Lord's house. Monday morning the meeting commenced with a good interest. The good work progressed till 2 o'clock p.m., when by request of Brother White, 6 long seats near the pulpit were vacated and then filled with those who during these meetings had decided to make a new start for the kingdom. These were examined one by one and received into the church by vote as candidates for baptism, and just before the setting of the sun, when the thermometer stood at 20 degrees below zero, minus 29 degrees Celsius, we went down to the branch nearly 1 mile, 2 kilometers, from the meeting house, where I stepped down from the ice into a clear stream of water and baptized 11, among whom were my aged and respected father and mother, Ibid, January 21, 1868.